Blog Talk Radio.
Within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. You can call in your prayer requests at that same number. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer and play a selection or welcome in the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim, Lord God, in Genesis 2 and 4, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, made earth and heaven. Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim, in the account of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, you are featured prominently as the creator. From your creative mind came the concept. From your loving heart came the reality. From your mouth came the words that spoke the earth and the universe into existence. I stand on ground that you have spoken into being. I breathe air that you determined would enter my lungs and give life to the cells in my body. I honor and adore you for your creative power and genius. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Yeah. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Jehovah Elohim, I confess I don't understand or grasp the true magnitude of all you have made. Everything is perfectly created so that we all live in a natural circle that sustains itself and produces life. But you are also intimately involved in your creation. You are not only Elohim, but also Jehovah. Forgive me for failing to honor you at the highest level, do you? Forgive me for neglecting to show you the respect you deserve. Pardon my heart when it selfishly seeks to take credit for something you have created and planted in my own life, such as my skills, gifts, and talents. Jehovah Elohim, in your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, at this time, I will play another selection. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in basic theology. Praise be to God.
All their death, Lord, you grieve.
to God. Thank you, Lord. Follow your conscience. In Hebrews 10 and 22 in the CSB Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Amen. God gave you a conscience for a very good reason, to make your path conform to his will. Billy Graham correctly observed, most of us follow our conscience as we follow a wheelbarrow. We push it in front of us in the direction we want it to go. To do so, of course, is a profound mistake. Yet all of us, on occasion, have failed to listen to the voice that God planted in our hearts. And all of us have suffered the consequences. Wise believers make it a practice to listen carefully to that quiet internal voice. Count yourself among that number. When your conscience speaks, listen and learn. In all likelihood, God is trying to get his message through. And in all likelihood, it is a message that you desperately need to hear. God desires that we become spiritually healthy enough through faith to have a conscience that rightly interprets the work of the Holy Spirit. If I am walking along the streets with a very disfiguring hole in the back of my dress, of which I am an innocent, it is certainly a very great comfort to me to have a friend, a kind friend, who will tell me of it. And simply, it is indeed a comfort to know that there is always abiding with me a divine, all-seeing comforter who will reprove me for all my faults and will not let me go on in a fatal unconsciousness of them. My conscience is captive to the word of God. Guilt is a healthy regret for telling God one thing and doing another. If your friends are telling you one thing and your conscience is telling you something else, trust your conscience. Amen? In 1 Timothy 1 and 5 in the CSB says, now the goal of our instructions is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. In Acts 24 and 16 in the CSB says, I always do my best to have a clear conscience toward God and men. Romans 12 and 2 in the CSB says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. In Psalms 51 and 10 in the CSB says, God created a clean heart for me and renewed a steadfast spirit within me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you speak to me through the Bible, through teachers, and through friends. And Father, you speak to me through that still, small voice that warns me when I stray from your will. In these quiet moments and throughout the day, show me your plan for my life, Lord, that I might serve you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
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 9 and the NIV says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I attended a Christian woman's conference a couple of years ago. And one particular phrase from its theme jumped out at me. Be brave. Huh? Oh? I said. I immediately knew Jesus had a message for me that day. I have problems letting go. I'm what some experts call a potential life, a person who has many different interests and create pursuits in life. Aside from not wanting to disappoint people who invite me to participate in an event or volunteer for a specific task, I am often interested in the mission or vision behind the work and find fulfillment in dabbling in all aspects. The concerning part for me is that once I'm involved, I find it hard to move on when my part is finished. Sometimes it's scary for me to move forward and I not know what will happen to the work I'm leaving behind. It's even scarier to not know exactly what lies ahead. But when I grip an event or task, I'm supposed to let go of it. I'm not allowing Jesus to replace what I have. That's where bravery comes in. Jesus cannot put something else in my hands because they are already full. By opening my hands and letting go, only then can he give me more or lead me to the next place in my life. Letting go can be scary at times, but I feel brave knowing that when I open my hands, Jesus will be there to hold them. Praise be to God. Will you do what Jesus asks you to? Write down the words, be brave, and then do what it says. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim, thank you. Thank you for all you have created. Thank you for being mindful to put beauty in the midst of your creation. Thank you for being mindful to give me the ability to appreciate and enjoy what your hands may have made. Every day is a gift from you. You send the rain to water the ground and restore life where it has become dry. You tell the stars where to hang in the sky and call the tide when it is time to rise. Thank you for the magnificence of who you are and for allowing me to glimpse even a fraction of that magnificence through your creation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, at this time, I will play another selection, and you are listening to Pray One for Another.
Lord, I come before you. music fades and words lose their touch. You will never cease praising you, Father. For you will come as a full appreciation of your glory. For as long as we live to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you.
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Fitting In. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 139:15 in the New Living Translation. And it says, "You watched me as I was being formed in the dark of the womb." Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Do you ever try to blend in with others with the hope that they will accept you? You lay down your unique identity and strength in order to belong. It's not only exhausting, but deep within you, you feel lost and isolated. Friend, God created you exactly as he wanted you, with your personality, gifts, and temperament. When you find yourself hiding your real self in order to fit in with others, you need to stop and ask, why am I so afraid to be myself? What value is this person or group of people providing that merits denying who I am? What do I think I will gain by this? And if they truly cannot accept the real me, are they worth being with? Absolutely not. Most likely, no matter what advantages that person or group brings to your life, it won't be worth the cost to your own heart. Denying who God made you to be means cutting off the flow of his power and purpose in your life. That damages you, strikes your creativity, strip your creativity, and limits your influence. You end up cutting yourself off from the very intimacy you desire so intensely. Don't do it. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, the way you created me to be is good. Help me embrace all your formed me to be. All you formed me to be. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize it together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what. The problem may be,
He's in control
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come on, lift them up in here.
Oh, let's stand
rejoice.
Up, rejoice, and shout unto
why,
Him.
Why, when you
come to
control.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory, for
He is my King.
In Him I live,
move and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what,
no matter what the problem may
come
be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory, for
He is my King.
In Him I live,
move and have my being.
Can you believe that? Sing this with the blessed
people.
Come on, lift Him.
Oh, lift Him up, rejoice.
And shout unto Him.
And shout unto Him.
Come on, you call Him.
We have caused us to triumph.
And we know we will rule in the end. Say it again. Lift the peace.
Oh, lift Him up, rejoice.
Come on, someone shout.
Put
the voice of triumph
tonight. We have caused us to triumph. And we know we will rule in the end.
He dwells in the midst of His people. So God, as we lift your name, we lift you high on the earth. Let's do it together, all the sinners, all over the world.
Lift Him up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift Him up.
Lift Him up.
Lift Him up.
Higher and higher.
Higher and higher.
Come on, that's above you.
Lift Him up.
That don't mind singing it.
Lift Him up.
Come on, sing it. Lift Him up.
Lift Him up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift Him up. Lift Him up.
Come on, this is easy.
You got this. For hardworking women, what others think. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Proverbs 29:25 in the ESV Bible. Do you ever worry about what others think of you? Maybe you receive a bad evaluation at work, or maybe your company received a bad customer review online. It could be that you're too afraid to ask that guy out on a date because you're worried what your friends will think of you. Those kinds of situations make us believe that we're failures or aren't good enough. What others think about us, whether they said it about us or we believe they think it about us, can cause anxiety. When we place more worth and weight on the way others feel about us than we place on how God feels about us, it may be time for a self-check. One thing to always keep in mind, the world isn't out to get you. While we have a real enemy who wants us to sink deep into our insecurities, these false truths or lies can eat away at our souls. People don't spend their days thinking bad things about you. How often do you spend your time thinking poorly of others? Not a lot, right? On top of the fact that people aren't spending their days thinking about how bad you are, why would you care if they were? It's your life, not theirs. Why do you put worth in what others think and say when your worth is already found in Jesus? When we are constantly worried about what others think of us, it's possible we miss out on many awesome opportunities that God has planned. Our Redeemer loves and cares for you. He would never put you down or call you unworthy. He longs to set you free from the prison of untrue thoughts and feelings. So the next time you start worrying about what others think of you, why not ask God to erase those thoughts from your mind and fill your heart with his love instead? You got this. We can be our biggest critics. Instead, be your biggest cheerleader. Surround yourself with positivity. And when the negativity comes in, push it out. Focus your eyes on Jesus and pray. Do good things for others and fill your soul with the good. Tell yourself good things about yourself. Remember, those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. When you feel the negativity creeping in, know that you are capable and worthy. You are a daughter of the King. Jesus loves you. He always has and always will. Amen. Praise be to God. You got this. And now it is time for our lesson for this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie, and our very own Barbara A. Amore will conduct the lesson for this evening. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening? And welcome to
Good evening, God.
Sorry.
God bless you. I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you?
I'm making it. That's all I'll say. I'm making it.
And Valerie, how are you?
I'm good, Sister Barbara.
All right. So let's get started with prayer. I heard the last 2 minutes of what you were talking about. It sounded great.
Oh, thank you.
You're so welcome. Now for the prayer. Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, a few of your humble servants assemble at this 7 o'clock hour to give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before, a beautiful day. Lord God, we can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. We see how your beauty surrounds us and just astounds us and makes us feel like going on because you're such a good God. You're so wonderful to us. Lord God, you continue to show us great and mighty things, simple things like a beautiful day, the sun shining, no rain, snow melting, people sweet, kind, you know, just generous in your favor in our lives, Lord. A prepared meal that we needed so much, Lord God. We can't thank you enough because you are our providential caretaker. We love you because of your first loving us. We thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your kindness, your generosity, your favor, all of your benefits, Lord God. We can do nothing without you. And with you, Father, we can do everything. We can do all things. So, God, at this time, I can't thank you enough. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Thank you for allowing us to be on the Daniel fast, that it's not as difficult for some as it was probably anticipating it would be, but it was not it's not a bad move, and it's something that's very beneficial to our health, to our strength, to our life, and I thank you for that. So God, again, and bless the one who thought of it for us, Valerie. You put us on this road, many bumps and head bumps and all of that, but that's really irrelevant. The bottom line is that we're doing God's will and we're attempting to eat the Daniel pulse that he spoke about in the book of Daniel. So God, thank you. Thank you. It gives me a like almost a new lease on life because of the journey that I'm taking through this fast. So again, thank you, God, for doing it. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and what you're doing right now. Bless everyone on the line. Bless them in every way that they need you, and that's every way, whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritual, relational, any way that I don't even know about, that they don't even know about. Thank you. Fulfilling that lack, Lord God. We love you. Bless our families. Keep us strong. Bless the children. Keep them strong. And just draw somebody else to you, Father God. I ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to go on to our lesson. And it's lesson number 49, which continues on page 321. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
And it's just a 2-page lesson, but Let's see if we can get through with it today.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
The biblical terminology. We spoke about salvation last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone remember what soteriology is?
Salvation.
Amen. Go to the head of the class. Yes. Soteriology. Amen. What's that?
It's lonely up there.
I don't know. It's all right.
Right, Val. So, it's lonely up there.
Thank you. We gotta go to chapter 49. The biblical terminology. Number one, the Old Testament usage. The most important Hebrew root word related to salvation in the Old Testament is yesha. I guess I'm pronouncing it correctly. Originally, it meant to be roomy or broad, in contrast to narrowness or oppression. Thus, it signifies freedom from what binds or restricts. It came to mean deliverance, liberation, or giving width and breadth to something. Sometimes this deliverance came through the agency of man, such as through judges in Judges 2:18, 6:14, 8:22, 12 through, or kings, 1 Samuel 23:2, and sometimes through the agency of Yahweh in Psalms 20:6, 34:6, Isaiah 61:10, Ezekiel 37:23, Zechariah 3:4. Sometimes salvation is individual, as in Psalm 86:1-2, and sometimes corporate, that is, of the nation, as in Isaiah 12:2. So all the world will share it, 45:22 and 49:6. In the Old Testament, salvation was not only a deliverance from some trouble, but also a deliverance to the Lord for his special purpose. This is seen in Isaiah 43:11-12 and 49:6. Any thoughts about that before we continue and go back up for the reading of the scriptures?
No.
Okay. So faith was a necessary... Excuse me?
Nobody said anything.
Faith was a necessary condition for salvation in the Old Testament. I repeat that. Faith was a necessary condition for soteriology in the Old Testament as well as in the New.
I'm sorry, Abraham, but I don't know what page we're on.
We're in chapter 49. We just started. Page 321.
Okay. It's only one page, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it's two pages. It's just one chapter, but it's short.
Okay.
So faith, you got it?
Yes, I got it now.
Faith was a necessary condition for soteriology in the Old Testament, as well as the New. Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. We see that in Genesis 15:6. The Hebrew prefix Beth, B-E-T-H, indicates that Abraham confidently tested his faith on God, and we see that in Exodus 14:31 and John 3:5. The covenant relationship established by the Mosaic law also implied that an Israelite had to have faith in the God of that covenant if he were to be pleasing to him and not be cut off. We've heard that a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
if you don't do this, thus, and such, you will be cut off.
Right.
If you meet with somebody else's husband, you will be cut off. Mm-hmm. If you bring me defiled and blemished animals, you will be cut off. Okay. So mm-hmm. the object of faith was always the true God. Numbers 14:11, 20:12, 2 Kings 17:14, Psalm 78:22, and John 3:5. This Savior God was the sole origin of soteriology. Psalm 3:8 and John 2:9. To trust in idols was not only ineffective, but ludicrous. For salvation was of the Lord. What do you think?
Yep.
You're laughing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like he was saying that, you know, to trust in idols, it is ludicrous, because what can idols do for you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They
Amen.
Just, if you place them there and you're looking at it and it all it's doing is staring right back at you. It can't talk. It can't move. It can't do anything.
Amen to that.
Amen.
But they did, and they had a lot of them.
Right.
Amen.
Because they didn't know no better. That's why Jesus said,
no, they did know better. Remember, God told them. And then they went astray many times. They knew about the one and only true and living God of Israel, of their own people.
Yeah,
and they still chose to follow the strangers,
yes.
to follow mm-hmm. their God, like their gods were better than
right.
our God. And as it said, that was ludicrous. When
yes.
salvation comes from the Lord, why are you going to believe in a piece of wood?
Because they didn't want to give up what they were doing.
I'm just saying, why would you want to believe in a piece of wood when you got the one and only true and living God? And he's making ways for you, lighting your way in the darkness,
mm-hmm.
lighting your way at night, lighting your way during the day, covering you with clouds. Why?
Because they were disobedient.
Okay. Yes, that's the ultimate thing, is they were rebellious. They were a stiff-necked people.
Yes.
Who you tell them one thing, and they do it for a minute, and then when you think nobody's looking, you go back and revert to your old ways, and you think nobody's seeing you. God sees everything.
Yes.
He knows everything. He knows what we're going to do before we're doing it. I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all know that. Right?
If we don't, then something wrong with us.
So, let's take a look at our scriptures going back up to the first paragraph. I'm going to start with Valerie tonight. Valerie, get Judges, please. Judges 2:18 and 6:14. Evangelist, get Judges 8:22 and 12:2. A lot of scripture. Judges 2:18.
Judges 2:18 and Judges what? 14?
Judges 6:14.
Okay. Judges 2:18. Okay, Judges 2:18. And when the Lord raised them up, judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judges. For it repented the Lord because of... Did I skip something?
You skipped 1 through 17, which is what I had asked you to pick up from 18. Yeah, that's fine.
18. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of the groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them.
Okay. And read the next one. Read through 19.
And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods, served them, and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way.
Amen. Thank you. And I just want to read mine from the message, 18 through 19, and this is Judges 2. When God was setting up judges for them, he would be right there with the judge. He would save them from their enemies' oppression as long as the judge was alive. For God was moved to compassion when he heard their groaning because of those who afflicted and beat them. But when the judge died, the people went right back to their old ways, but even worse than their parents, running after other gods, serving and worshiping them, stubborn as mules. They didn't drop a single evil practice, which is what I just said. They knew about God. They knew his ways. But when they weren't being watched or being judged or had a judge in front of them, when the man died, they went back to their evil ways. They know better. They knew better. And don't we do the same thing?
Yep. Absolutely.
Judges 6 and 14, Miss Valerie.
And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? That doesn't mean.
Amen.
And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?
Thank you. And at this point, do you know who he was speaking to? Just look up a couple of verses and you'll see.
Gideon?
Yes.
Is it Gideon?
Gideon. Thank you. Evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
8 and 22. Still in Judges.
Gideon's sacred Ephod. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, be our ruler, you and your son and your grandson will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian.
Amen. And read 23.
But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So the people were saved, and they appreciated what they saw in Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
And they requested that he rule over them as their king, as their judge. And he said, I will not, I most certainly will not rule over you, nor will my son. God will reign over you. Oh, God. Okay. Thank you. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now Evangelist 12 and 2.
12.
Still in Judges.
Says, Jephaniah replied.
Mm-hmm.
I summon you.
No, not Jephaniah. It's not Jephaniah. It's Jephthah.
Jephthah. Oh, Jephthah.
Mm-hmm.
Replied, I summon you at the beginning of the dispute, but you refuse to come. You fail to help us in our struggle against Ammon. Who is this talking?
That's finished?
Yeah, it's just one verse.
Okay. Really, like one sentence.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, thank you. The other one is, Kings. I don't know where they want us in Kings, but that's a whole. First Samuel, Valerie, 23 and 2. And Evangelist gets Psalms 20 and 6 and 34 and 6.
Okay.
First Samuel, 23 and 2.
Reads, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines, and say, Keilah.
I'm still turning pages here. 23 and 2.
And all God said is go. And David knew he had his back. David always went to God before he went to war. And God just said go. And then David knew he had his back. He knew he won the war.
Amen. Amen. And I'll read 1 through 3. It says, living in desert hideouts. It was reported to David that the Philistines were raiding Keilah and footing the grain and looting the grain. David went in prayer to God, should I go after these Philistines and teach them a lesson? God said, go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah. God said, I'm sorry, but David's men said, we live in fear of our lives right here in Judah. How can you think of going to Keilah in the thick of the Philistines? The Philistines. Oh, my God. Okay. And the next one is Psalms 20 and 6, Evangelist.
Now I know that the Lord rescues his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven and rescue him by his great power. Amen.
Amen. And then 34 and 6, Psalms
4 and 6. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. Amen.
And amen. And my when I was desperate, I called out. And God got me out of a tight spot. Valerie, Isaiah 61 and 10, and then Ezekiel 37 and 23. Isaiah 61 and 10.
And Ezekiel what?
61 and 10.
Isaiah 61 and 10 and... Isaiah 61 and 10 reads, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth, okay, that was it. That was 10.
10.
Ezekiel.
Okay, and I'll read mine. It says, I will sing for joy in God, explode and praise with from deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jewel tiara. For as the earth bursts with spring wildflowers and as a garden cascades with blossoms, so the Master God brings righteousness into full bloom and puts praise on display before the nations. That's my God. Now Ezekiel 37:23. Evangelist, get ready for Zechariah 3 and 4.
Okay.
Ezekiel 37.
Ezekiel 37:23 reads, neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God.
Amen, amen. And mine says, 20-24, then take the sticks you've inscribed and hold them up so the people can see them. Tell them, God the Master says, watch me. I'm taking the Israelites out of the nations in which they've been exiled. I'll gather them in from all directions and bring them back home. I'll make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and give them one king over all of them. Never again will they be divided into two nations, two kingdoms. Never again will they pollute their lives with their no-God idols and all those vile obscenities and rebellions. I'll save them out of all their old sinful haunts. I'll clean them up. They'll be my people. I'll be their God. My servant David will be king over them. They'll all be under one shepherd. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Zechariah 3 and 4.
Zechariah 3 and 4 says, so the angel said to the other standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Joshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Your filthy
and then
brand new.
We have Psalm 86, 1 through 2, Valerie. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 2. You guys just get ready for Isaiah 12:2.
Okay. Okay. Psalms 86:1-3.
2.
Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily.
Amen. And I like to read 86. It says, bend an ear, God, answer me. I'm one miserable wretch. Keep me safe. Haven't I lived a good life? Help your servant. I'm depending on you. You're my God. Have mercy on me. I count on you from morning to night. Give your servant a happy life. I put myself in your hands. You're well known as good and forgiving, big-hearted to all who ask for help. Pay attention, God, to my prayer. Bend down and listen to my cry for help. Every time I'm in trouble, I call on you, confident that you'll answer. And that's the way it is.
Amen.
Isaiah 12 and 2. Evangelist.
Praise for salvation.
See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Amen.
And mine says, yes, indeed, God is my salvation. I trust. I won't be afraid. God, yes, God is my strength and song. Best of all, my salvation. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Looking at Psalms 45 and 22, Valerie, and 49 and 6.
Psalm 45, you say?
45 and verse 22. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Evangelists, get ready with 43, 11 through 12, and 49 and 6. That's still Psalms.
First, Psalm 45 and...
Wait a minute, am I right? Wait, maybe that's Isaiah.
No,
right?
You said, for me, Psalm 45 only goes up to 17.
I think it's Isaiah. It's Isaiah.
Isaiah 45?
Yes, Isaiah 45 and 22, I'm sorry, and 49 and 6, Valerie.
Isaiah
45 and 22.
I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. Thou unto me, even... every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, shall swear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of me, my mouth, in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. And you say 49.
And what is he talking about?
Was that a God?
Yeah, of course. Who else is going to be bowed down to? What is he talking about?
He's talking about our faithfulness. Yes.
Everybody, every
tongue shall confess. Even the unsinners, the sinners, unbelievers, confess God. As soon as our back go up against the wall, the spirit just, Jesus.
Tell it.
That's why there's so much power in the name, because we all call on Jesus. The Bible says his word is not a lie, and everything in it is true and shall come to pass. He said we all going to call.
Yes,
shall confess.
Yes,
Jesus.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
So you said 49
and now
and
6. 49 and 6.
And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant.
to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth.
That was 49 and 6. Okay. I'm going to read mine. It says, Isaiah 49:5, it starts, "And now God says, this God who took me in hand from the moment of birth to be his servant, to bring Jacob back home to him, to set a reunion for Israel, what an honor for me in God's eyes, that God should be my strength." He says, but that's not big enough. That's not a big enough job for my servant, just to recover the tribes of Jacob, merely to round up the strays of Israel. I'm setting you up as a light for the nations so that my salvation becomes global. What is he talking about?
What are you reading?
God is talking about he's omnipotent. He's powerful. He's so powerful that not only for the Jews, he's going to get the Gentiles too, everybody on the earth. God came that all be saved. But he knows that some are stubborn. And, we'll go to their grave with their stubbornness. And he calls them the wicked. He said, the wicked shall perish.
Right. So, Evangelist, what did you say?
I don't even know where you guys are reading.
I'm reading the Message Bible.
Isaiah 49:6.
Oh, okay.
And we're still on page 321. We're just going over the scriptures.
I know.
Oh, you said you were lost, so...
I wasn't lost. I just didn't know what scripture you was reading. Because what you was reading from the Message Bible, so I was listening, but I didn't see, when I read the lines, I didn't see Jacob, because in your Bible, it says Jacob.
Okay, so Jacob is another word for what?
Israel.
Right. He changed his name from Jacob, the sly trickster. Changed it from Jacob, God did, to Israel.
Okay. No,
let's look at... You okay?
Yes.
Let's look at 43 and 11 through 12, still in Isaiah.
Okay.
And I was asking the question, what did he mean when he was saying that not only do I want you to bring my message to the tribes of Jacob merely to round up the strays of Israel, I'm setting you up as a light for the nations so that my salvation becomes global. What does that mean to you, Evangelist?
Means that he will preach God's word throughout the nation to different nationalities, different tribes.
Amen. So not only bringing my word to my people, Jacob, or now Israel, but I want you to make this thing global.
Yeah.
Take it to the world.
Yes.
Take it to the world.
Praise God.
Amen. 43:11-12.
43.
43, I have it.
No, that's Evangelist. I assigned it to her.
Okay.
Isaiah 43:11-12 says, "Yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue
and I save you and proclaim it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. 11 and 12. Amen. I am
God.
The
let me read mine.
God, says the
Thank
Lord.
You. It says, and it's, well, I'll go up to 6. I'm sorry. Get the blind and deaf out of here and ready. The blind, though there's nothing wrong with their eyes, and the deaf, though there's nothing wrong with their ears. Then get the other nations out here and ready. Let's see what they have to say about this, now that, not how they account for what's happened. Let them present their expert witnesses and make their case. Let them try to convince us what they say is true. But you are my witnesses, God's decree. You are my hand-picked servant, so that you'll come to know and trust me. Understand both that I am and who I am. Previous to me, there was no such thing as a God, nor will there be after me. I am God. I'm the only Savior there is. I spoke, I saved, I told you what existed long before these upstart gods appeared on the scene. And you know it. You're my witnesses. You're the evidence, God's decree. Yes, I am God. I've always been God, and I always will be God. No one can take anything from me. I make. Who can unmake it?
Nobody.
That's a bad God.
That's right. Absolutely nobody.
It's a bad God. Oh, I love that. Love that one. Okay. And so now 49 and 6, Evangelist.
He said,
I love that one, my Jesus.
Oh, yeah. He said, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Wow.
Amen, amen. I'm just on fire with that last one. Ooh, God. Okay.
Oh, yes.
I got to be stuck with that one. Okay, and so let me see. That ends at 13. Okay. All right. That was 43. That 49 and 6, right?
Yes.
And this is talking about, I have to read it. In the Old Testament, salvation was not only a deliverance from some trouble, but also a deliverance to the Lord for his special purpose. Ooh. And can you kind of summarize what his special purpose was? Is?
You mean God?
Are we in the book again? We're in the book again, sister.
Say that again.
Are we in a textbook now?
We're neither in either one. I'm just asking a question.
Okay.
So can anybody answer the question I just asked, or you didn't hear it?
Didn't hear it.
Okay. The question is, that last sentence is that in the Old Testament, salvation was not only a deliverance from some trouble, but also a deliverance to the Lord for his special purpose. And so what do you think about that? I was asking what's the special purpose, but what do you think about that, or what was the special purpose? Evangelist.
I'm not understanding who you mean, who's talking.
Nobody's talking. I'm asking a question about what we just read, all that reading we did.
Yes. Okay. The question again. Repeat the question. We could.
Listen, y'all got to listen. In the old, I'm reading the last sentence of the first paragraph on page 321 in reference to all the scriptures that we read, and we read a lot. So in the Old Testament, salvation was not only a deliverance from trouble, but also a deliverance to the Lord for his special purpose. Question, what was his special or what is his special purpose?
His special purpose is to bring salvation to the people or faith.
Huh?
I don't know.
No, don't give up. Come on.
I'm not giving up. Faith was in the seven conditions.
Valerie, help her out.
God saves us, brings us out of darkness, out of trouble, out of sin, cleanses us up. So that
you're coming through muffled.
God saves us. He brings us out of darkness, out of a sinful world, cleans us up so he can dwell within us and use us to bring others to Christ. That's a special person. Because he doesn't just save us out of our troubles. He wants us to reach back and bring somebody else up with us.
Okay, but didn't you just hear that it was said that he is the only Savior?
Yes,
so we cannot save anybody.
No, but
he does the saving.
He does the saving. He wants us clean, living a clean life, so he could dwell with his Holy Spirit, could dwell within us. He cannot dwell in an unclean temple where he can use us. He uses, we're instruments, we're tools, we're servants.
Again, what was the purpose?
We don't save. He does the saving. He does the healing. He brings us in and out the world. But he uses us.
What is the purpose? Valerie, slow down and listen to what I'm trying to ask you.
To bring salvation.
What is the purpose?
I think his purpose is to make us his servants.
Hold on one second. Let me just let her know I'll call back.
Before the servant, when the fire was born, God had chosen him to bring the light of the cross.
Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I had called this called her early, and she wasn't. She called me now. So what was the purpose? We just read that.
To bring salvation to the world, to the ends of the world.
Thank you. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. We are his witnesses.
Amen.
So we are going to bring the fact that God is good to the world. We can't take the Concord to each and every nation, but we can tell our neighbor, we can tell our family, we can tell our church how good he is, what he's done for us.
Amen.
So, Valerie, what would you say if someone asked you, what's the Lord done for you? Don't give me a whole lot of going back to Adam and Eve. What's he done for you?
Well, he gave me a beautiful sister like you.
And he gave you what?
Angela, a wonderful, beautiful sister like you in evangelism.
Right answer.
Right on cue. Beautiful
everything
answer.
Right answer.
Everything else would have been too much.
God bless you. God bless you for that. Amen. Evangelist, what has he done for you?
Oh, my God, it's just too many things to say. But he gave me a new leaf on life.
Ooh, God.
And what more else can I add to that? Everything. He gave me my children, my grandchildren. Mm. He gave me roof over my head. He gave me a job.
Praise the Lord.
He gave me.
Praise the Lord.
He just gave me so many wonderful things that is
the
list would go on and on and on and on, and we don't have that time.
Amen.
My
listen
God
to her. Listen
it
to her.
I have
Jesus.
To tell it.
This, you, he brought
this,
me
thank
from
you, Jesus.
A
this Valentine's Day. This Valentine's Day, the Lord blessed me with a husband with a good spirit that brought in here a brand new washing machine. Thank
wow.
you,
God. Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. 'Cause now I can't get out this house.
Nobody but God.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time doing those clothes, I know.
Yeah, it's different.
But anyway,
from,
God
know,
is awesome.
Yes,
he
is.
Gave me the breath of life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And if he never does another thing for me, he's done enough already.
Amen.
He is a good God. He's
nice.
Wonderful. He looks out for me. He mm-hmm. keeps me from falling. He keeps me from stumbling. And if I do, he picks me up.
Amen.
Amen. He picks me up.
Yes, he does.
And I can't thank him enough. He put good people in my path.
Come
people
on,
that
now.
Care about me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, I mean,
you,
it's like Evangelist said, I could go on and on and on, but I won't.
Yes.
He
Amen.
Is an awesome God, and he put sisters in my life like you two ladies and
thank
just
you.
The daughters of divinity, period. Just Lord, you know, he just, he's everything. He's everything, and I love him. I love
him
so much.
Just
can't thank him enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing it, because you didn't have to do it. You keep on making waves. You keep on showing us who you are. You keep on allowing us to be witnesses for your goodness, Lord God. And I thank you. I thank you, God, for healing and for love and a roof over my head, a bed to sleep on, warm covers in a warm house and food on my table and money in my pocket and my bank account. God, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Jesus, you're awesome. So anyway, I just had to get that out. And
we don't finish this two pages.
We will not.
No, we will not.
We will not tonight. But God is just good. We got 3 minutes. Ladies, I love you. I just can't say it enough. And thank you for being here. Thank you for going through the Bible, searching for these scriptures. I mean, that's a lot. But we get a lot out of it when we do.
Amen.
So thank you for sharing with us. Please.
Something with you guys I was sharing today earlier.
But wait. No. We're going to first close out. Once we close out, then we can open it to other things, okay? So we're going to close out. Valerie, would you close us out?
Oh, gracious Father, Heavenly Father, Father God in heaven above, we love you so dearly, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
All our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God. Father God, bless this time that you've given us to study
Thank
together.
You.
Hallelujah. You said that with us two or three, there you are in the midst. And we thank you,
Jesus.
Father. Thank you. Holy Ghost, be our teacher, Lord God.
My Lord.
Thank you, because you said you never leave us nor forsake us, Jesus. Glory be
Thank
to
you.
God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, Lord, Lord God. Father,
yes, God.
Give us more insight in your word. Father God,
help us.
Edify us in this Bible, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Empower us to live the life, Lord God. Oh, glory be to God. Quicken
Thank
every
you,
joint in our body that we may be
yes.
in obedience unto you, Jesus, Lord God. Bridle our tongues, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bridle
yes,
our
Father.
Tongues. Let our conversation be holy as you would
yes,
have us to
God.
Be. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Thank you,
Amen.
Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for that wonderful prayer, that wholesome prayer.
Amen.
God bless you. Prayers of the righteous avail it much. Yes, ma'am, you wanted to share something with us?
Yes, like I was telling you guys earlier that, you know, my doctors have been having me on diets, and, you know, I was at 300 pounds. I don't know if I shared this with you, that I had a weight loss surgery years ago. And because of my thyroid, the thyroid is, you know, hypo, where I have low energy. And without my medications, you know, I'm sort of like paralyzed. Like all the energy drains out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I have to take every day. And I only realized it once I came home with my last baby and I couldn't get out of the bed. I just knew it was just not surgery. So I took myself to the doctor and find out I had hypothyroidism. So the surgery only took off like maybe 50 pounds and they kept pushing me up to do it again and again. And then they tried it again. Second time, it almost took my lights out. I literally almost saw the lights going out in the world. And the doctor stood over me. And that's when I opened my eyes. And funny thing, he said to me, you want to try it again? I'm like, what is he talking about? You almost killed me.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. But years later, I realized, you know, they'll figure out what they did wrong. After they had like 8 interns on me. So anyway.
After they had what?
What they did wrong was they, you know, they was going in where there was extra tissue or something like that.
Okay.
Going
okay.
From the babies and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, years later, 2007, that was 2014, 2017, I was still heavy, overweight. So they told me they wanted to reverse the surgery. And my lawyers pushed me up to do it too. They said that would help the settlement and everything. And they said, that, you know, they convinced me that, you know, it, you know, was something that was doable. I didn't think they could even do it. You almost killed me. So on a good day, I'm down 80 pounds. Usually I'm down 80 pounds. Sometimes a little more. But it didn't click with me until I realized that, you know, I'm doing this because of my faith in God. And I know that this is a sacred fast. The Daniel's fast is very popular, you know, even though, you know, some people don't know about it, it's very popular, you know.
Okay.
So in the Bible, Daniel did this fast, and that's where it came from.
Yeah, that we know.
So, all right. So as I was reading labels and stuff, I'm like, look at me. Doctor's been telling me to do this all these years. And I'm just
they
losing
didn't
weight.
Know. You think they knew?
And I'm saying, I saw Sister Barbara yesterday. I'm like, I'm surprised. It's just clicking. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing all these years the doctor's telling me to do. But it's just
all
that
right.
It's my intention to do as Christ would have me to do. I respect his path. We were reading Daniel when me and Evangelist was fasting. And, you know, I learned the significance of the days, the 10 days, the 21 days, and the 40 days. You know, it's different days they choose to fast. The individual
yeah, thing. Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, it's okay, right? That's, you know, how I feel. I'm just going to continue to press on to do as Christ would have me to do, to be the kind
praise
of
him.
A better Christian.
Praise him.
To be a better daughter, to be pleasing unto
praise
him. You know.
Thank you.
And God empowered me to do it because that weight loss thing is, I mean, I give up on it. I don't do it. I mean, I do it and I don't. Like, I don't drink anything but water and crystal. Like, I drink a substitute, sugar. But I never thought about drinking coffee without the sugar at all. But I'm doing it because I'm on this fast. Because it's a Daniel's fast.
All right.
You know,
so
trying to do it better and better every day. It gets better.
I think
I just
we
realized,
are. Go on.
Yeah. I just realized what I just thought of a way, you know, what I would like to eat during the day. Because when you come off this fast, you really, in the desert, like, what can I, you can't have nothing hardly. So I'm comfortable and satisfied with eating fruits for breakfast, salad for lunch, and stir frying some vegetables for dinner.
Okay.
Doctors always tell me, don't go without, have three meals. So I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. So we can talk more about it tomorrow. I'm going to have to run, but keep what you have to be discussed for tomorrow, if that's okay with you, Evangelist.
Yes.
You wanted to say something? I need you to say something if you have it.
No, I'm listening. I don't have anything to say. I mean, I'm enjoying the fast because, you know, only thing I miss so much is my coffee.
You didn't get the decaf?
When I went in the store that I go to that's close to my house, they didn't even have any coffee. It's like since they opened all these new buildings around here now, the store stays empty. So I'm going to try again tomorrow and go to the supermarket. But the fast is over on Saturday, so I'm just going to hold out until after.
Now, we got a few more days. Those days are a lot. It's almost a week more.
Yeah, well,
it's Friday. Friday is the 10th day, so that's the 23rd.
How many more days is that?
No, not five. We got three more days.
Three?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
There's Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, we still on it.
But
we
all agreed to make it a lifestyle change. More healthier
women. Well,
we
didn't discuss that, Valerie. We didn't discuss that,
no,
but, you know, that's a thing that we can discuss.
I just
want to share with Evangelist before I have to run because I told a lady I'd call her right back, and she said she may be going to bed. I had a very good meal today, and I was sharing that with Valerie. She called me a little after, 5 o'clock, I think?
Uh-huh.
And I told her I was trying to get some rest, so I didn't get to look at anything other than some Z's. But I had some butter beans. I made it today. Butter beans, okra, brown rice, sliced yam, and I almost say candied yam, but nothing on it but a little olive oil.
Yes.
And that was it.
Okay.
It was so good. It was so good.
I would have ate everything but the okra. I don't like okra.
Okay. But what did
you
eat today?
But all the rest of it, I would have ate.
Well, I haven't eaten anything yet.
Okay.
After the fast, I just had a banana and water.
Okay.
So I'm going now to make me some potatoes because I got the olive oil yesterday. And I'm
wonderful.
Going to make some zucchini with the potatoes and maybe some string beans, some spinach. Because, I have a big bag of spinach and I'll eat that spinach.
You going to stir fry it or you going to roast it in the oven?
I'm going to stir fry, honey. I ain't got time for that.
Okay.
I am going to stir fry and I'm going to sit back with my big 32-ounce cup of ice cold water.
Okay. And I had some probiotics and ginger tea. With ginger cut up in it, and I'm still sipping on that from earlier today. And it's still warm, so that makes me feel better with the cough, too. It's kind of a twofold reason for it. But I'm loving this. I am loving this. I can't say it enough. Excuse me.
I don't have honey. I've got to get some honey. What kind of honey is good, Evangelist?
Raw honey, not golden seal. Don't get that, or golden, whatever that is.
No, golden seal. Only raw honey. That's the organic raw honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would get it from the health food store if possible, but the supermarkets have it too.
Yes.
But if you can get it from the health food store, that's the best.
Yeah, but there's no health food stores around here. Everything is in Brooklyn.
No, I was telling Valerie, she's the one that can get around.
Yeah, I think I saw it in the supermarket though. I don't have health food stores around here. None.
No. Okay. And Whole Foods and GNC.
No, we don't have none.
Got to get on a train and go somewhere in Manhattan.
Exactly.
It's worth it. Ladies, I'm going. Love you all.
Love you.
Hugs, blessings, kisses, peace, and love. And give give what's his name a hug for me.
Last night.
What happened?
What's his name?
Huh?
Chico.
Yeah.
Chico.
Give
what's his name a hug for me. Chico.
Okay.
I gotta go. I love you all, ladies. Tomorrow, okay? God willing.
I'm sounding out.
Okay.